welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. You're listening to Greg Morris's performance of Philip Glass's Three Pieces in the Shape of a Square. The album has been nominated for a Grammy for Best Instrumental Classical Performance. Morris will be among a select group of musicians actually performing during the Grammy's nationally televised pre-show this Sunday. And as we'll hear, that performance won't be easy. The piece is designed so that two performers are moving around the stage in the shape of a square as the song progresses. But he'll explain how that works. Craig Morris, Associate Professor of Trumpet at the Frost School of Music, joining us now in studio. Craig, such a pleasure.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with this. What was the initial response to you when you found out you're up for a Grammy and you're going to be performing there?
Right. Yeah, I think the initial response was sort of drop your instrument case, you know. I was trying to get out the door to go teach that morning. I actually completely forgotten they were announcing them that day, even though I knew the album had been submitted, but I didn't know what kind of chance it might have. There's a huge number of recordings in that category. And I was on the way out the door and got a text message from my wife, who had been following along. Fortunately, someone's keeping track of me. And I just had to stop for a second and say, wait a minute, what? It was a huge surprise.
No, that's got to be a great way to start the day. Before we get to the piece here in a second, I just want to remind our listeners, by the way, that you can listen to him live now in a moment here playing, or you can go to our Facebook page and you could see Facebook Live. He's going to be performing for us. Real quickly, though, remind people of Philip Glass and his contributions to music.
Yeah, sure. So Philip Glass is widely known as a minimalist composer. He was one of the founders of this musical movement, which is based on lots of repetition, simple music ideas happening over a long piece of time. And he's known more popularly through through some of his film scores. He's been a very prominent opera composer, but like I said, I think his film scores are how maybe most people might know him. He did the film score to The Hours, was well known. And there's been a number of other films, films that have his music as the subject, like Kuja and Scotsi. Don't ask me to spell that one, though.
No problem. Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that, so trying to understand how this works, because again, it's you're not static. You're moving around as you're performing. I found some videos of, I guess, one of the original pieces, but with flute.
Right.
Now, you're doing this with trumpet. How does that change the performance?
Yeah, you know, honestly, on the album, all of these things are listed as arrangements. That was, I guess, what the publisher really wanted in this. But honestly, for me, they were really simply, if you will, versions, because I didn't change any of the notes in there. I just put them into the register of the trumpet. So flute is obviously much higher. So I just play them one octave down from the flute part and play exactly what's on the page. So what really changes, and I know I'm biased in this, but what changes this, I like the sound better because it's on the trumpet.
There you go. So you prepared a portion you're going to play for us. Tell us a little bit about this particular arrangement.
Yeah, so this, I'm going to play for you melody number 7. This is from his melodies for saxophone, 13 melodies that were actually written, excuse me, written, I need your radio voice, that were written for as incidental music for a play in the mid-90s. And he also used them as a bit of a kind of a workbench as for his upcoming saxophone concerto. So what he did when he wrote the melodies, I was digging around online on his website looking for anything I might be able to play, and something I could arrange or something for undetermined instrumentation.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you go ahead and set up. You're gonna set up your trumpet, and while you do that, I just want to remind everybody that you can watch us on Facebook Live. So I'm going to let you go ahead and you've got your trumpet with you. You can find us again on Facebook, WLRN Sundial, and you can see this as it's happening. So I'm going to step aside here. Right. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Greg you. Morris, Associate Professor of Trumpet at the Frost School of Music. He was again nominated for Best Instrumental Classical Performance for his album of Philip Glass, Three Pieces in the Shape of a Square. Morris, again, will be one of the only a handful of artists performing during the Grammys pre-show this Sunday. Let's talk about this piece. I'm just fascinated by trying to understand how it works. Now, there's a photo on your website, which is quite impressive, I think, maybe for anybody who doesn't know how this works. And basically, I mean, this is just podiums in a big circle, and you're walking around, well, you're going to be walking around these and performing. Now, for your piece at the Grammy, so it's going to be a little bit different. But just explain how this works, because, again, the performer's not static. You're performing as you move around.
Right, yeah. These there's two pieces on the album that were from a concert in 1968 that Glass put on when he first came back from France, where he studied with Nadia Boulanger and worked with the famous Indian sitar player Ravi Shankar. And when he came back to New York, he really disavowed all of his earlier work and then started writing heavily influenced by these Indian rhythms that he had been working with Shankar. And this eventually delved into this minimalism I was mentioning earlier. Another idea he had at the time was to write out the music, skipping every other staff, so that and setting up the music in some sort of geometric pattern, in this case a square, and laying the music around that geometric pattern, and then having the performer or performers move around the space as they're reading the music. And so the original, if I did it the whole thing live, this is a reduced version I'm doing at the Grammys. If you do the whole thing live, then you have the two performers and they move around a 10 foot or a little larger square in opposite directions and just reading the music. And as they read the music, they start moving apart. And what's interesting about this particular piece is as they move apart, the music starts basically identical at the beginning. It starts with one player and the other player comes in with a virtually identical part. And then as they move apart, the parts become more and more divergent until when they're roughly halfway around the square, they become very divergent, but then they end up crossing and the lower part gets on top. And then as they finish the trip around the square, it all starts coming back. The original material starts coming back in reverse order again, sort of like a giant palindrome. And so you can actually hear at least a reference of the square in the way the music itself is constructed.
For a performer, though, what's that like in that you're moving from music sheet to music sheet and not missing your place? I mean, what's that like for you?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. And this piece is actually incredibly rhythmically complex. And the two parts also have many places where they aren't really related at all as to what's going on. And so it takes a lot of focus.
And you're doing this on national television.
It's not actually televised. It's on the live stream.
Okay.
But they told me that last year they had 1 million people watching it on the live stream. So
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
So how are you performing, or I should say, how are you preparing for that Sunday performance? How is it different than any other kind of show that you do?
Well, just preparing this piece is really unique in that I just recently, fortunately, got a pedal for my iPad. This may sound like a total non sequitur, but stick with me for a second. The problem is, if the way you perform this piece is to set it up in a giant square in order to be able to read the music, you can't do that everywhere. I mean, it takes 12 music stands, even for the reduced version, for us to read through it. So it's not the kind of thing you can just set up in your office and, play through, unless you have a digital copy with an iPad and a foot pedal. And so it's only until I got that I started being able to play, work on playing it all the way through, which helps immensely. So just the piece itself requires a different kind of preparation. And for the program, the biggest thing I've had to do, honestly, is cut it down to 5 minutes. They wanted a 5 minute version of this 12 minute piece, and I had to cut it down to 5 minutes and still honor the piece and still try to capture the same. It still needs to be set up in a square and still capture the same idea of it starts with material, becomes divergent, and then that same material comes back again in the end.
And who's the second performer with you?
I'm so fortunate. The teaching at the Frost School of Music, my fantastic teaching assistant, Federico Montez, is going to join me, which is wonderful because we're able to rehearse this together here in town and spend real time with it. I'd originally started with some friends of mine in the Los Angeles Philharmonic to see if they could do it. They weren't able to. And then I thought, well, I've got great talent right in my own studio here. So, you know, let's take advantage of that and practice here in town and go out there ready to rock.
What have the students been saying?
I think everybody is a little bit like me, a little bit in shock. You know, I think it's been a big surprise. But I think everyone also, you know, they're super happy for me. And I think there's also, even for my colleagues, a sense of pride. It's a great honor, obviously, for me. And I think it also shows the great things we have going on at the Frost School as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm always fascinated when I talk to any professional, and, you know, there are certain awards, you know, for any profession that's the pinnacle. And
right.
So, it is an honor for you, but I'm just wondering, like, does it change your life?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still sort of in the middle of that question.
we have to wait, obviously, but, you know, still being nominated.
No, being nominated is huge. Since this category is a combination of two instrumental categories, with one with concertos and the like, and then with a full orchestra, and one with solo performers. This was combined in 2012 into the current category, and there has since that, there has never even been a wind player nominated. And I don't know when the last time a trumpet player was nominated in any of these solo instrumental categories, you know, even before the 2012. So just to have this, you know, nomination being a trumpet player in a category that's always dominated by violin, piano, you know, strings and piano and percussion, basically, it's a huge honor.
You know what? Those strings and those pianos, step aside.
That's right.
Give everybody else a chance.
That's right.
Greg Morris, again, associate professor of trumpet at the Frost School of Music. And again, he's nominated for Best Instrumental Classical Performance for the album Philip Glass, Three Pieces in the Shape of a Square. He's going to be, again, one of a handful of artists performing during the Grammys pre-show this Sunday, which as he said, it's going to be streaming. We don't have time for that second song, but I'm going to say this is stick around for Facebook Live viewers, because you can stick around after the show.
I can.
We'll get that performance on our Facebook Live. Craig, congratulations.
Cool. Thank you.
Good luck. Congratulations. And thank you again so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That's our program for Wednesday, February 6th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Find us on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.